On June 25th, the United States Supreme Court struck down a key provision of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, in practical terms invalidating federal oversight of voter disenfranchisement efforts across the country. In the hours that followed, it was hard to see as anything other than cynical the immediate actions in numerous jurisdictions to implement voting rules that would previously have been challenged on constitutional grounds. The following day, the court handed down decisions that had the effect of lifting restrictions on same-gender marriage in California and neutering the anti-gay rights' most powerful weapon, the so-called Defense of Marriage Act. To fit that historic week into a newspaper headline, one would have to say something like, sexual minorities win, racial minorities lose. But that would imply a zero-sum game that my next guest contend couldn't be farther from the truth. It would also imply that the game is over. It's not. But in fact, the anti-gay right is furiously fundraising around the DOMA and Prop 8 rulings and catapulting shiny new ex-gay propaganda into the public discourse, as well as swearing to, quote, defy the rulings, whatever that might mean. Regarding the Voting Rights Act ruling, the suggestion that the issue will now have to be addressed in Congress was met, frankly, with a widespread cynicism. Since then, however, it's encouraging to note that the Senate Judiciary Committee has in fact scheduled hearings on the matter for July 17th. The bipartisan witness panel will include civil rights hero Representative John Lewis and Representative James Sensenbrenner, who played a leading role in the VRA's 1996 reauthorization. So there's yet a battle to be fought, and I can't think of two better people than those to fight it. The question is, who's going to join with them? Joining me now are two Unitarian Universalist pastors who recently co-wrote a powerful commentary on just this question. It's headlined, Justice is Justice, and we're going to link to it from stateofbelief.com so you can read it for yourself. Meg, Rosemary, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
It's so good to be with you.
It's exciting that yours is more than a call for unity in the struggle for justice. It is, in fact, a demonstration of that unity. Rosemary, you're an African-American pastor working in New York City with its profound economic and social inequalities. Meg, you're a lesbian pastor with a long history of fighting for marriage equality in Minnesota and nationally. And listeners, I need to tell you that both of these people are dear friends of mine. But I want to ask each of you, what moved you to collaborate on this piece?
This is Rosemary. I think I wanted to reach out because I was mumbling to myself in the house the whole week all this was going on. And whenever I start talking to myself about stuff, it means I need to be writing about it. And I didn't want to just write a piece that said, oh, you know, this is really making me angry. Oh, we need to come together around these things. I wanted to do what I try to do in my life and in my ministry, which is to partner with people around common issues. And Meg and I have worked together on other things throughout the years, and I knew that Meg was active in marriage equality movements in Minnesota the way I've been active in them in New York. And so I felt like it was a good way for us to kind of speak and exemplify what we are after.
Meg, what about you?
Well, you know, to have such a victory on something so close to me as marriage equality come down so significantly close chronologically to such a horrible decision by the Supreme Court. And I should say that both Rosemary and I, being Unitarian Universalists, we lost two Unitarian Universalists to the struggle to get that Voting Rights Act passed. There's a great article in the latest New Yorker that really details the passage of the Voting Rights Act, and there are three people who died for that: Jimmie Lee Jackson, a young African-American man who really died trying to defend his family from a violent white sheriff, and two Unitarian Universalists, who both were killed because they went to be of support as allies from the North. James Reeb, a minister, and Viola Leoza, a laywoman, who both were murdered. And I think both Rosa and I felt like, you know, part of being part of a tradition is that you stand up when others in your tradition, when their legacy isn't being respected, much less, you know, John Lewis and everybody else who put their lives on the line for that. So when Rose called me, I just was thrilled to be able to also take some action, because it's so easy to just feel tied up in knots and rageful and helpless and all of those things that are so unpleasant. So it was pure joy to do that together.
The article that you wrote is headlined, Justice is Justice. And I want to ask each of you, if you will, to briefly define what that word justice means in your ministry and in your life. As you well know, there are some people now who are saying that you really better watch out for these people who are talking about social justice or justice of any kind because they're dangerous people. And I don't think that was the compliment for justice that you two and I have in our mind. So would you define justice as each of you do that?
Well, what comes to me first is justice is not just us. And whenever you're thinking just us, you're not thinking about justice. Rose, I'll let you go.
That's right. For me, and I really do try to come at it as a pastor, and for me it is about the fullness of life and about the inherent worth and dignity that all of us really are born with, and the capacity to live that out in the world. And anything that blocks that capacity deserves our attention, our focus, our energy to move those obstacles aside. And I really believe that the time has come for people to stop being in silos around which particular issue is the more important issue, because what we know and what we can see is that the people who oppose justice are people who are working against a wide variety of people who they do not believe deserve that fullness of life. It is up to us to twist that narrative and to work together in ways that our opponents don't necessarily expect.
Mm, well said. I'd like to read you a quote from a recent interview that we did with Valerie Kerr. Valerie's a Sikh American activist and filmmaker who's with the Groundswell Movement at Auburn Seminary. This is what she said. Our struggles are part of a greater movement for equality and dignity in America. It is the old way of fighting that we fight for our own selves, our own issues, our own causes. More now we're realizing that we must stand together to make progress in this country. Isn't that what you all are calling for?
Yes, I think that she's lifting up what Dr. King called we're woven into a garment of mutuality. And I'm somebody who draws a lot from Buddhist teachings, and there's the notion of dependent co-arising. And so, you know, everybody can't rise until the whole garment is brought into this. And I think she's saying exactly what I say justice isn't just us. That's a little tiny thread over there, but it's not the garment.
Mm-hmm. I also want to add, Meg and Walden, that I think that those who oppose that broader vision of justice are counting on our differences, whatever those are, to distract us from the larger justice that we seek. And that we have seen that in the marriage equality movement quite blatantly, where one chapter suggested that it would be useful to agitate among African Americans who might oppose marriage equality to increase their presence so that a marriage equality movement or action might be defeated in that state. And the idea that one group would be used against the other is what people have been counting on now for generations. And it's time to put an end to that. We're smarter than that. And people who think, for example, that the Voting Rights Act doesn't matter, should pay attention to what happened in Texas. The fact that Wendy Davis is sitting in Texas in the legislature, able to do that filibuster, came about because the very district that she was in was called to account by a provision of the Voting Rights Act. That voting rights part, Section 4B, doesn't exist anymore. When it's time for Wendy to be reelected, she is likely to lose her seat. And we need to remember that she is the person who's protecting women's rights today in Texas. So everybody who thinks that it doesn't apply to them needs to wait a minute, because if it doesn't apply to you yet, it will.
Yeah. There certainly have been some, and you alluded to this, African-American pastors and congregations who have actively worked against campaigns for LGBT equality. Maybe the most painful statements have been from leaders who reject out of hand any comparison between the struggle for racial equality and the struggle for LGBT rights. And sadly, those are often the voices that get broadcast in mainstream media. Rosemary, I want to ask you, where should LGBT people look to find allies in the African-American community?
I think they should actually look everywhere. Just because a pastor is speaking from a pulpit and saying things that are hateful or homophobic doesn't mean that everybody in the congregation feels the same way. And people who are in the African-American church community are not monolithic. And I think that we may be oversold by the media, the idea that there is opposition in the African-American community. All gay people are not white. There are the same number of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender African-Americans in our communities that there are in other communities. And some of those people are in church. So we should not assume that there is not support. There's also some affirming churches, very specifically affirming African-American churches, that are very upfront about their support of marriage equality and a full range of rights and privileges for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. So I think that we need to be discerning in the way that we're discerning about everything else, that we find our allies one by one, and that we make partnership with them one by one.
And I'll chime in to say that there's also an organization called Many Voices, which is a black church movement for gay and transgender justice. Frederick Carmen, who I suspect, I know you know Welton, and I suspect Rose knows as well, as the co-director there. And that there's been organizing, but as Rosemary mentioned, it really is the white right that is so suddenly interested in what African Americans have to say about this and really doesn't want to hear about much anything else.
Isn't it amazing to have that kind of attention when no one's ever cared?
A number of national and local LGBT groups spoke out immediately against the Supreme Court's ruling on the Voting Rights Act, but the general perception has been, and I underscore perception, the perception has been that for the most part, their focus has been on celebrating victories in the LGBT community. That's understandable, of course, but Meg, what should the LGBT community do now to demonstrate its solidarity with other minority groups?
Well, I think, first of all, something that we've needed to do for years is to facilitate the leadership of the non-white GLBT leaders who have been working hard for years to say this is not two separate communities, and really lift them up. Too much of the marriage equality struggle, I think, has been framed as white upper middle class, you know, couples, because it's unthreatening. But, you know, groups like the National Black Justice Coalition and Many Voices have been working for years to lift up other kinds of leadership. And so one thing is to support that. I think a really concrete thing coming up is the centennial on the March on Washington, of which Bayard Rustin, who was one of those many people who's both black and gay, was an absolute architect of that march, takes that opportunity to lift up the unity of the communities and the, you know, 50-year history here. Also, I think for me, it means, you know, I got called recently by somebody saying, you know, now that you have marriage equality in Minnesota, will you help organize Minnesotans to stand up for marriage equality in other states? And I said, you know, that's great you're doing that, and I can give you some names, but really that's not where my energy is going right now. I feel like I put a lot into marriage equality, and I'm really glad other people are, and I really want to put my organizing energy, of which we all have a limited amount when we're ministers, I want to put that into the voting rights, because that's going to be coming up everywhere, and, you know, it's going to require some creative coalition building and some hard work, frankly. It's going to be pretty hard work.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Rosemary, you want to comment on that?
I actually do. I feel like I want to see people in Freedom to Marry. I want to see people in the Human Rights Campaign out there in public talking about the danger that we face with Section 4B's dismantling, that this is an issue that strikes at the heart of democracy. Because I really do believe that democracy is in danger in this country right now, and that sounds like a really grand thing to say. But the truth is that in every capacity that I've been able to see, there are forces at work to limit our capacity to speak, to limit our capacity to vote, to limit our capacity for privacy, to limit all those things which make us the democracy and the democratic experiment that we are. The New York Public Library, right before the 4th of July, had a copy of the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights on display. And I told somebody, I'm going to go see it because I want to go see the Bill of Rights while we still have one.
Yeah.
That's how seriously I feel about what's happening right now. And so it behooves everybody, no matter what their first issue is, to make sure that their second issue is democracy. Because without that, none of the first issues are going to matter.
The Reverend Rosemary Bray McNatt is Senior Minister of the Fourth Universalist Society in New York City. The Reverend Meg Riley is Senior Minister of the Church of the Larger Fellowship, a Unitarian congregation without walls. Together, these two authored a powerful call for a recommitment to shared struggle titled Justice is Justice. I am always pleased when I can be with either one of you individually. To get to be with both of you together is a real pleasure. And I should tell our listeners that if you ever have a chance to talk to these two people about this article or anything else, don't plant your feet too well, because they'll run over you. They don't just talk about stuff, they actually do it. Meg, Rosemary, great thanks to you all.
I would encourage people to write positive things at the Huffington Post. We've had some pretty weird comments, and anything that can keep those comments positive is always good.
Great. Well, listen, thanks to both of you for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thanks for having us. Well,
thank you for all your work.
Good work.